Well, what a wonderful privilege it is to be here this morning in God's house and to see all your lovely smiley faces. I've been thinking about what to do this morning, and I haven't brought any boats with me this time or anything like that, I'm afraid. And I really believe that this word that God's given me this morning is for us. Thank you, Brian. For us as a church, and also maybe us individually as well. And that is my heading for this morning. Look up, not down. Look up, not down. Now, when we look at this, there's so many practical reasons why, and I'm quite a practical person, there's lots of practical reasons why we should look up and not down. Well, the first one is, obviously, when we're looking down, we cannot see where we are going. You know, I'm looking down here, I cannot see you, all I can see is the carpet. So we need to look where we're going. We need to look up. We need to be focused. Everything that it's been brought this morning, like Rachel was talking about the school. I didn't know anything about that, about her teaching the children with the glasses and telling them to look through the glasses. Didn't know any of that. And what Mark has brought this morning through the word about returning to God. Obviously, we've got to look, we've got to turn around and we've got to face him and look to him. It's no good turning round and think, okay, I'm going to go to God now. We need to look up to his lovely, beautiful face. And looking down, so we can't see where we're going, and it cuts out our vision. We're blinkered. All we can see is the floor. We look down when we're sad. When we have sad news, we look down. We're sad. When we're lonely, we're sad, and we look down. Or even if we're scared, not even through our fault of our own, if we're scared and nervous that we've got to do something, then we look down and we're scared. Or many years ago, or you can put it on yourself to be scared. Many years ago, Liz and I had the privilege to go to Australia, and we went to Sydney, and we climbed over the Sydney Bridge. And it was, I looked up this morning how high it was. It was 134 metres, or 440 feet high. And you go there, and you have to wear a special suit. I don't know if anybody has ever done it before. You have to put a special boiler suit on, health and safety, and you've got to have no loose objects on you at all. And you climb up to the, when you go up to the stairs to the office and get kitted out, they take you into another room. And then they tell you what's going to happen. They put a harness on you, and then they tie you onto a rail, and you can't have anything loose. And then you go along this gantry, and you're looking down, and all you can see is the cars, the tiny little cars going along the road on the bridge. And then you get to a tower like this, and then you have to climb vertically up a tower, straight up, straight to that, right up, and you're tied on all the time. Scary. So we can be scared ourselves. But when you get to the top, whoa, what a view. What a view. And I was thinking about this and thinking, you know, that's just like our walk, isn't it? When we're down, when we're fed up, when we're cheesed off, when we're going through things that life throws at us, we can be down. We can look down and say, woe is me. But we have a glorious King who's on the throne this morning, don't we? We can look up. We are all human, and we do look down. So look up, church. Look up. Look up. You know, we're looking forward. Looking up and looking forward. I could have put that on there as well. Don't look down. Don't look down. This guy here that's the Burj Tower that is in the Middle East, and it's the highest building in the world. And I would imagine that when that guy goes out on that rope, he's pretty scared and hoping that that rope's going to hold him. And don't look down, look up. So whatever we may be going through this morning, I don't know you. I see you on a Sunday morning. I don't know what you do during the week. I don't know you personally. And you don't know me personally. But I feel that God's saying this morning, whatever we're going through, individuals, we need to look up. Now, as a church, we need to look forward and up. You know, we see the work going on out there this morning, and it's exciting when we look up. So, look up. Emphasis is on look up. Proverbs. Proverbs 4. Wonder if you could turn with it to me. Turn with me to it. It's on page 562 of the Church Bible. It's really funny. I was doing this on looking up. And this morning, do you know what? I was in a real panic. We were away yesterday. We were in Bournemouth. And we came back very late last night. And got back about 1:30 this morning. And so this morning, I was just frantically trying to get things together. And I'd lost my reading glasses. And I thought, oh, no. But fortunately, I had another pair. So but these do help us look up. But I had a spare pair. And then I found the other pair as well. So I thought, oh, what do I do now? But they're both the same. So Proverbs 4, 18 and 26. It's not going to be up there. So we can look at that together. Right. And it says there. Okay, Proverbs 4, verses 18 to 26. But the path of the just is like the sun shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from you, your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Here we go. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. So, yeah, let our eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. You know, when we look up, how we see things so much differently, don't we? When we look up. And I was sitting there this morning, when we were in a praise and worship, I was looking out, and I always look, but when we're praising and worshipping, I like to look out and see the creation, what God's given us, and the changing of the trees, and things like that. And it's good to ponder on what God has done for us. He's an amazing, amazing God. Amazing God. You look at the skies and the stars and the trees and the blue sky. And I say this time of year and the seasons he's given us. He's such a great and wonderful God. It's, you know, how can you not really believe that you know, there is a God and creating all that? It's amazing. And at night, you see all the stars. It's just incredible what God has done for us. So we need to be grateful. And not only for the planet and what he's created, but also for one another too. Isn't it great to be in a church family? And, you know, we have got each other for support and prayer and uplifting. And, you know, and when we do things wrong, sometimes, hopefully not very often, it's great to be in such a family of God and, you know, and looking out for each other, you know, when we are feeling down. And somebody can come up to us and say, look up, you know, don't look down. Don't look down. So this morning we're going to look at very quickly of a story about a guy who we assume was looking down, but in the end he looked up. And this guy had a bad affliction. It was a bad affliction. In fact, he wanted it to go away. And we can find that in Mark 8. Mark 8. And it's on page 891 of the Church Bible. And it's the story of a blind man healed at Bethsaida. A blind man healed at Bethsaida. And we read from verse 22 to 26. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spat on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men walking like trees, or trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Now, I read this and I thought, that is just amazing. You know, that somebody had brought this guy to see Jesus to be healed. And he must have been absolutely desperate to be healed and to be touched by Jesus. He must have been looking down. Well, obviously he couldn't see, but he must have felt down and depressed and just in a real, real state and downcast. And you just can't imagine how this guy must have felt. And they were dragging him. They all imagine not dragged him, but they begged Jesus to touch him. Now, in verse, where is it? In verse, and I was reading this and I thought, wasn't that a strange thing to do, to spit on someone's eyes? You know, if you saw that going on today, you'd think, but it's amazing. And the man looked up, didn't he? Verse 22. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spat on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Now, the first time when Jesus had spat on his eyes, touched him, he couldn't see. So I would imagine that he was there and Jesus touched him, and he must have looked up to see what he could see. And because he says, doesn't he, that he saw men walking like trees. Now, I would imagine that he thought, oh, nothing's happened here. And I would imagine that he felt really down and depressed, still, that nothing had happened straight away, that he'd gone to see Jesus for a touch and nothing happened. But then in verse 24, what do we read? We read, then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. He made him look up. Why did he say that? He made him look up. Because I would imagine for many, many years, this guy had been looking down and depressed. So Jesus made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Amazing. I can imagine that guy, words just can't describe what he must have felt like after being blind. It doesn't say that he was blind from birth, but I would imagine that he was. And Jesus touched him. And then, so Jesus asked him twice to look up, not once, but twice. And this time he could clearly see. Now, it's really strange, because imagine that guy, he must have been so, so excited if a miracle had happened. And Jesus told him in verse 26, then he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. Can you imagine this guy? I bet he was so excited that he could see for the first time. I bet he was like all sort of jittery, all sort of, you know, and I would imagine someone must have seen him. And, you know, I can just imagine him sort of like quickly running to his house. But he's just like bursting to tell someone. I don't know what you like at keeping secrets, but my wife tells me I'm not very good. But I try. And if I am told something, I really do try not to. Is that right? I really have to really zip my mouth, to not, especially if it's an exciting thing. And I imagine this guy was like that. He was so excited that he just was, I would imagine he was leaping and running home. So the main thing is, though, that God told him to look up. So moving on then, what I was looking at this and thinking, what can we learn from this passage? Now, we have the next slide. Okay, Proverbs 4. There you go. Sorry, I missed that one out. Okay, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Now, so what can we learn from this passage? It's all about looking up, isn't it? And we need to look to Jesus. We need to look to Jesus. Like Mark said this morning about returning, we need to look. We need to come back to God if we've run away. And we can't come back if we're not looking. You know, maybe that we need a pair of these to look where we're going. But we need to look to Jesus. Why do we need to look to Jesus? Well, first of all, he died for us. And that's a good reason to look to him. And secondly, he wants us to come to him with those things which are making us look down. Okay? He's our friend. He's our healer. His majesty. And we could stand here all day and just reel off things, what Jesus is. He's such an awesome, awesome God. And he is there to help us, whatever we go through in life. And, you know, he's always there, night or day. Let's turn, one of my favourite psalms is Psalm 46. If we could turn to that. And I wonder if we could all read it this morning. Psalm 46, and it's on page 504 of the Church Bible. Psalm 46. I wonder if we could stand, and it's good to stand and read God's word for those that can stand. If you can't, no problem. And this is such a blessing, this psalm. It's such a blessing to me. God, the refuge of his people and the conqueror of the nations. Okay. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, through the swelling shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Should we read that again? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is with us. And it's our refuge. Isn't that amazing? Please be seated. So, yeah, what a psalm. Our God is always there, always looking out for us, but we have to look to him. Okay, not only do we have to look to Jesus, but we have to look to one another. Okay, like I said earlier, it's important to look out for one another. The blind man was taken to meet Jesus, and some versions it said, I looked in another version and it said the disciples took him, but I wasn't quite sure, to be honest with you, who took him, because in another version it says somebody took him. Somebody was looking out for him. Somebody wanted him to be touched and healed. So somebody was looking out for him. But let's look out for each other. It may be this week we need to look out for each other, or look out for a family member or someone we don't know. It's good to look out for each other. And in John 13, and verse 34 and 35, it's on page 955 of the Church Bible. And it's headed up. The new commandment. So, John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have one love one for another. Now, notice in this verse here that it's at the beginning of verse 34. It says a new commandment. It's a commandment. It's not you will. Well, you will is a command, but it's a commandment. Now, if he was in the army or wherever, and the sergeant said, gave you a command, then you'd have to do it. If you didn't do it, you'd get a. So you'd have to do it, whether you liked it or whether you didn't like it. And in this verse here, it's a new commandment that we should love one another. And sometimes that's difficult, isn't it, to love one another if someone's upset you. But we should love one another as it is a commandment. So we need to look up. And in our impact. Can anybody remember what the C is in our impact groups? Caring for one another. Caring for one another. So it's in our impact groups as well. And I hope that you're all in an impact group. And what a blessing it is to be in an impact group. And if you're not in one, I suggest getting one quick, because it's a real help and a blessing to learn. And obviously about God, but off of each other. And get alongside one another. So, and as I say, love one another as it is a commandment. Okay, not only is it a commandment, but God gives us these commands, but also our God is omniscient. Now, that's a big old word, isn't it? Omniscient. Now, omniscient means he's all knowing. God is all knowing. So he's also everywhere, omnipresent, and he's also almighty, omnipotent. We can have confidence that Jesus is with us at all times when we're walking and looking upwards. You know, he's always with us in the middle of the night, during the day, whether we're at work, whether we're retired, whether we're at the shops, whether we're at the bus stop, wherever we are, God is with us. And we can look up to him. Though we can't see him physically, he is there. So what a wonderful God we serve. Now, in Romans 8 and verse 31, we read this. Page 1005, we read this. Romans 8 and verse 31. It says this. Headed, God's everlasting love. Everlasting, not 5 minutes. Everlasting, forever and ever. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, it's for us. It's with us all the time, like we just said. He's with us night and day. So if God is for us, who can be against us? We have such a mighty God with us and helps us through the ways and over the years has blessed us. I'm sure lots of people could come up here and testify of God's goodness to us, even when we were small, right through to the present day. He's such a wonderful God. It's just amazing, amazing. So he's all-knowing, he's everywhere. And then lastly, K. Keep on. We must be persistent. We must be persistent. This blind man was instructed twice to look up. And he must have been frustrated, like I said earlier, that looking up the first time it didn't work. You know, maybe that in life we do go through trials and tribulations and we think, you know, that hasn't worked. But we need to be persistent. We need to give up. What's it say in the word? Ask, seek, knock. And keep doing it. Ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. We still might not get what we want, but we need to be persistent. And we need to keep on. We need to keep on. We're on that journey, aren't we? And the blind man, I don't know whether this was the first time that he'd come to get a healing from Jesus, but he persisted. And we need to persist in prayer to meet with Jesus. And not only that, but we need to know that we're overcomers. You know, that we're not downcast and that we're not always, you know, looking down. And but we are overcomers. It's very hard when you are feeling like that to think, oh, let's all be jolly and lovely and, you know, an overcomer, and when you're feeling, you know, terrible. But we need to try and do that. And in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7, 1044, the church Bible, 1044. We read this, verses 4 to 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind through Jesus Christ. So rejoice in the Lord always. Be persistent. Be persistent. And look up. Look up. So, in summary then, we need to look up and not down. Psalm 121 is another very, very popular Psalm 121, and it's on page 549. Psalm 121 and verses 1 to 8, and let's should we stand and read this one together as well? Psalm 121, verses 1 to 8. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and forever, evermore. Amen. Please be seated. So yeah, I will lift up my eyes until the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. What an amazing verse that is, isn't it? We've got to hold on to that. Hold on to that. I will lift up my eyes until the hills. From whence cometh my help? That's not looking down. Although you can, I suppose you can stand on top of a hill and look down. But we need to look up and focus on Jesus. Focus. Our author and our finisher of our faith. We have a hope that we will be with Jesus eternally, don't we, if we believe in God this morning. If you don't, then we don't have a hope. But as Christians, we have a hope for eternity, for Jesus, forever. So, if we truly believe this and we have confidence with the help of the Holy Spirit to keep looking up in spite of our circumstances and how we are feeling, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to keep looking up. You know, even when we're right at our wit's end, but, you know, when we're so down. I was reading about Stephen in the Bible, in Acts 7. And you don't need to turn to this. I can quickly look at this. In Acts 7, and verse 54 to 60. And it's headed, Stephen the Martyr. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. He gazed into heaven. He looked up. He gazed into heaven. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And said, "Look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with their sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So even to the end, he was being stoned. But what did he do? He still looked up. He still looked up. He still looked up even if he was being stoned. So we must be persistent, and we need to run that race. And our last reading is from Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. And it's on page 1070. Hebrews 12 and verses 1 to 2. It's another very popular verse from Hebrews. Therefore, and it's headed the race of faith. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here we go. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're all in a race, aren't we? We're all in a race. And it doesn't matter whether we are the oldest or the youngest, or whether we come first, or whether we come last. We are in a race. And we need to be looking. You know, when you see that marathon, when they're all on the start line, they're looking down to start off with, but then they don't run like this, 26 miles running down. As soon as they're on the start line, they look up, and they're gone. So this morning, we need to look up. Look up to Jesus. So that's my message to you and myself. We need to look up to Jesus. Whatever we're going through, look up. Look up this week. Look up. Look out for each other. Look out for, look up to Jesus. Whatever you are doing this week. Amen.